Welcome to Liberty Revealed, the only show where you will learn about all things liberty. Your host for the show is a registered libertarian who's been involved in politics for more than 25 years. He has a passion for teaching others about the concept of personal liberty. Please welcome your host, Mike Mahoney.
I am a big believer in personal liberty. To me, my rights end where your rights begin. What this means is law should ensure that your freedom to live your life as you choose does not impact everyone else's freedom to live their lives as they choose. This is personal liberty. If you want to learn more about personal liberty and get more from this show, sign up to receive my 10-page guide on personal liberty entitled Liberty Revealed. You need to fill out a simple form located at yogispodcastnetwork.com/libertyrevealed. That's yogispodcastnetwork.com/libertyrevealed. Once you read through that ebook, you are guaranteed to be in a position to apply the philosophy of personal liberty.
Welcome to another episode of Liberty Revealed, the show that puts personal liberty at the forefront. I'm your host, Mike Mahoney. Today, I have a guest. His name is Rick Dawson. Rick is a libertarian activist in California and software engineering vice president. He is currently seeking a position with the state party as an at-large member. Rick is passionate about improving the party and reaching out to non-members. Hey, welcome to the show, Rick.
Awesome to be here. This is now a dream come true. You know, I've gotten a lot of amazing endorsements over these past couple days, but I shit you not, being on this podcast, this is like the greatest moment of my life. So I want to thank you, Mike, for having me here.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad you're here. And, you know, tell us a little bit about this at-large position that you're seeking and, you know, what does it entail? Some people have no clue.
Well, basically, within the Libertarian Party, I believe you have 12 members who all vote on various issues and things within the state party that, you know, different bylaws and movements, ways that can help out counties, ways to allocate resources, ways to reach out to non-members, things of that nature, right? And basically, an at-large seat is somebody who has a voice at the table. And I'm hoping to be a representative of people who are libertarians who don't necessarily fit the mold of the traditional libertarian, what the outsider thinks. I'm hoping to show that, you know, libertarian activists, a lot of us are just normal 9-to-5 guys, right? Like, as you said, I'm a software engineering VP during the day. And then, you know, during the night, I try to help out with activism. So basically what this seat would entail would definitely bring a voice to people like myself, and while also, you know, supporting candidates and, you know, hopefully winning more elections and making changes within the state party to help the county so we can win more elections at the local and state level.
Right. I mean, that's exactly why I'm also seeking the same, you know, one of the same seats is that, you know, I've run for office before, and the candidate support system just wasn't in place at all. And we see a lot of libertarian candidates who say, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. And there was nobody that could answer the questions. And I think that the party would, especially at the state level, be smart to have former candidates who've been through the process to sort of mentor people through it and let them know what to expect, what their expectations are that might not actually happen, those sort of things. But tell me, So tell me a little bit about when you did run for office. What office did you run for, and you know how did the campaign go?
Well, basically, you just hit the nail on the head, man. Like when you run for office for the Libertarian Party, you're on your own island, man. Like they reach out to you, they ask you to run, they do a great job, but from there, it's like, you know, how do I raise money for my campaign? What forms do I fill out? What signatures do I need to fill out? You know, what are the laws? What, you know, how do I run this campaign and not end up in jail or something, you know, like the things that we all fear, right? I received a call to action to run for Congress, for U.S. House Representative in the 30th District of California. I had no political experience before then, but I had a lot of ideas, things that I wanted to clean up around education and things of that nature in District 30. And, you know, I wanted to be a voice for people like myself. And there's a lot of like libertarians who just don't know it in the 30th district who I wanted to represent and bring our voices out there. But the experience was from the party side, which they are doing some great work to clean up. Tim Fiera recently started the candidate support committee. I donate to that every day. I think that, or every month I make a donation. I think it's extremely important. But, you know, in terms of my race, it was an interesting experience, man, because I was running in a solid blue district with a 24-year incumbent. So somebody, an incumbent who was there for a while. I was in a unique position because at the time there was no Republican running. So I had a clear shot to make top two. So basically what my job was for until my campaign was cut short due to a technicality, that's another thing. That's a whole 2 hours right there, but so we'll avoid that. But so my thing was every day I would knock on 20 doors, and out of those 20 doors, I would talk to 10 people. Out of those 10 people, I was gaining lifetime support from people just for the sake of people just saying, hey, you know, I've lived here for 20 years. You're the first congressional candidate who has ever knocked on my door. And, you know, I explained how libertarians, I had to message the libertarian idea to people who were not libertarians in a way that they could ingest it. And perfecting that message, I feel like I could do a lot to help candidates talk to people who are not libertarians, who are hardcore on the left, hardcore on the right, and afraid of quote unquote giving votes to the other side. That's the big thing that I feel like we deal with. And to finish up on that point, I as I've said on my platform for At Large, what I want to do is I want to focus on nonpartisan positions where their candidates are going to have to be forced to put their ideas against our ideas. Because what I feel happens is when we put their brand, Pepsi or Coke, next to our brand, which right now is like Surge, right? we're an acquired taste. So people are like, well, I'll just buy a Coke. I'm used to drinking Coke. This is what I do. Or I'm used to drinking Pepsi. I'm going to drink Pepsi. This is what I do. But I feel like they put their ideas against our ideas, and they have to defend their bad ideas against our great ideas, we will win. And I think the Jeff Hewitt campaign proved that. And I think that if we run more candidates in winnable districts where they don't have to rock an elephant or a donkey, you know, we will have more wins. And that's what I want to focus on.
Well, you know, you mentioned, first of all, the Coke, Pepsi and Surge analogy is, in my opinion, spot on. But, you know, you mentioned Jeff Hewitt, and he got some criticism within the party for not advertising that he's a libertarian. How do you feel about that criticism?
So here's my thing, man. Okay. I'm not in this. I am a libertarian, but I'm in this for liberty. And I want to see people go into positions where they could push and legislate and make changes. Now, given the analogy that I just gave you, Pepsi and Coke, sometimes people are going to have to run and not say outright that they're a libertarian in order to win. And as long as they legislate like a libertarian, I have no problem with them doing whatever they need to do to win the election. Because end of the day, Jeff Hewitt won his race. And because he won his race, he's been able to go on multiple newspapers and, you know, speak out and be a national voice for libertarianism. So for me, I don't care how you get to the dance, just like bring your shoes. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So it sounds like you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the ideology and taking action within that ideology is what's more important than how someone's labeled.
Exactly. I 100% agree with that. Now, would it be great for somebody to say, hey, I'm a libertarian and they're so great that they move our party forward. But I think we are playing the long game right now, right? So we need to get people in the habit of voting for libertarians, whether, you know, that person is rocking the hedgehog or not. We need to, you know, that's what needs to happen. Like me, I feel like no one, and I love libertarians, man. I love the LP. But the thing about a lot of libertarians, a lot of times the candidates aren't quote unquote libertarian enough, right? Whereas my thing is, I'm like, well, if somebody's going to legislate 80% of what I want as compared to 0% of what I want, I'll take the 80% every day. Like, Mike, if somebody had $10 million on the table, right? And they said, hey, you can either get $8 million or $0. Which one would you take?
Right. You'd take the $8 million, of course.
Exactly. So that's how I feel about it. I know that's probably going to land me in some hot water. But for me, this is about liberty, man. This is about making a country and a state sustainable so that my newly born daughter, when she turns my age, she can own a home and she can have freedoms and she can enjoy her life. So that's what this is all about for me, man. So of course, I'm running for the party. I'm a big advocate of the party. The party does well, but we need to win elections in order to make change.
Well, see, and I agree with you. I did an episode, oh gosh, probably 5-6 episodes ago, and I asked the question, you know, is the Libertarian Party more of a political cult than a political party? And I got, when people first saw the title, they're like outraged. But then when you actually listen to it, the reason I say that is, like you said, someone's not 100% spot on libertarian, and suddenly it's, well, you don't deserve to win anyway because you're not really a libertarian. But if you're 80% there, why wouldn't you? Like, okay, let's say that the person says, I'm for cutting down the size of government, and I'm for rolling back these regulations, and I want to make sure that our Second Amendment rights are protected, and I'm going to make sure that the Constitution is protected. Why, oh, why, oh, why would you vote for somebody else just because that person isn't libertarian enough? And that's what starts to make it feel like a cult, because, you know, they always say one of the earmarks of a religious cult is their way is the only way. And yeah, that's how it starts to feel when you start to say, oh, they're not 100% libertarian. Well, then that means it's your way or the highway. And that, I always say, show me a person who agrees 100% with everything in their party, and I'll find you someone who's not telling the truth, because nobody agrees 100% with everything. We're all humans.
Absolutely.
Let me throw this at you. So my wife and I have a show we call The Nightly Rant, and it's a 3-day-a-week show. And we had a conversation recently. She's from Canada. And so it's one of the things that appalls her is that not enough Americans vote. Yep. So, the other thing that appalls her, but it happens in Canada as well, is how uninformed most voters really are. Yeah. So, you know, I was impressed. Like, one of the things that impressed me about Gary Johnson when he ran for president was that he kept promoting this website called isidewith.org. And literally you go there, there's a short form and a long form quiz. You take the quiz and then it tells you you're 92% aligned with this person. You're 89% aligned with this person. So she said to me, she goes, you know, I think the only way we're ever going to get true representation of the majority of the people in this country is if, instead of going to a ballot box and casting a vote, and instead of there being campaigns, you take the candidates, you have them register that they want to run, and then they get put into a database. And then someone just goes to a website, they have a pin, they put it in, they answer the questions. If Gary Johnson is the guy they most align with, he gets their vote automatically. And then when it's done, the person with the most votes becomes the president, and the person with the second most votes becomes the vice president, and you're done.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first I kind of went, ha, sure. But, you know, when you think about it, it would definitely solve the uninformed voter issue, because instead of them having to worry about the issues, they're worrying about exactly what we just talked about. Maybe they don't realize that this particular guy is 80% aligned with them.
Yeah.
And that's the guy they should vote for, or woman that they should vote for. But by doing it this way, it would help. So then I said to her, well, maybe instead of doing that, maybe it should be mandatory before you vote that you take that quiz and it tells you who you align with. No BS, nobody spinning it, no, you know, stupid commercials that lie to you.
So what you're saying is I register to vote, but before I'm registered to vote, I take this quiz, and then it actually gives me a list of candidates. Hey, you're most aligned with this guy. You're second most aligned with this person. Third most aligned with this person. If it's because I don't want people to have to vote against their own will. However, I do like the idea of people taking a little questionnaire and being better informed before they go to the ballot box. Not to piggyback off that, but I am within the next 3 to 6 months, I have a social network that I built, Code Complete. And during the elections, what I'm actually going to do is it's going to inform everybody who's the candidates running in their district or president or whatever, but it's not going to say what their political affiliation is. So it's going to force people to actually, when they click on that candidate, it'll slide down. It'll give a 4 bullet points of what they're actually trying to legislate, like what they're trying to push for, how they feel about certain things. And what I'm going to make it is if a candidate wants to be on the site, they have to, or one of their people is going to have to take a questionnaire of mine, similar to what you were saying there. So I think I don't know about making it mandatory if there was an optional questionnaire that would say if it's like one of those things where I'm watching this voter commercial, hey, turn out the ballot box, you can vote Democrat. What did I say that? Yeah, I said that. So if somebody's like, well, geez, I don't know anything about any of these people. All I know is Fox News or CNN talking points. I would like to know which of these people would be a good representation. If it was an optional questionnaire that was not, you know, mandatory and not an infringement on somebody, then yeah, I'd do that. But yeah, I do. And that goes back to what I'm saying about nonpartisan positions. In order for libertarians to win, at least for the next 4 to 8 years, while what I like to call the balkanized society between Republicans and Democrats, how we're all like just how everybody's just going toe to toe right now, afraid to just leave their own cults. You're going to need to get some dubs in order to build the resume for a candidate who will win a congressional seat or who will win a Senate seat or who will potentially win the presidency. Right. Because Gary Johnson, he was taken seriously for president because he was a damn good governor. A really
right,
freaking
exactly. Good
one. Yeah. So that's what I think it is. And we need to get candidates and identify them when they're young. Right. And we need to start getting them into positions, building up their careers and, you know, building up that next guy to take charge. But yeah, I have no problem with that. What you said, as long as it's optional.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I wouldn't want to force anybody to do anything. But at the same time, if there needs to be, I mean, like there's I side with, but I mean, like, clearly they have some kind of agenda behind the scenes. I would rather it be something just, you know, data in, data out, yep. You know, this is what you get. And literally her idea was have each candidate, just like you said, fill out a really long form questionnaire where they're not allowed to type in, you know, long answers, just, you know, true or false. This is what your belief is. True. Kind of like the world's smallest political quiz, only make it bigger.
Yeah.
But okay,
go ahead.
Here's something I thought of while you were talking. So everybody who is into politics understands that the fastest growing, and I put it in quotes, party is no party preference.
Yeah.
That's the fastest growing party. 100%. So that means that there's a lot of Democrats and a lot of Republicans that are dissatisfied with their party for obvious reasons. Yeah. And they're deciding to be no party preference. Now, to me, I think that's more of a, and I actually have a friend who's an NPP, and I tell her, seems like a protest to me more than anything else. And she agrees that it's like, hey, I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat, so I'm just going to be no party preference. So how do you think, you know, to me, libertarians, that's a place where we should be looking to do some outreach and bring some people. But how do you think we could do that? How can we reach those people who are disenfranchised Democrats and Republicans who have left their party and become NPP?
Well, the first thing that we need to do as libertarians is just we have to accept to ourselves that, you know, it goes back to the 80%, the 60% rules. It's like, we gotta accept the fact that the people we bring in are not going to be 100% aligned with us. And that's okay. Like, we need to be more welcoming. We need to lose the attitude of, hey, if this person is not libertarian enough, we don't want you. Well, guess what? If we don't want them, somebody else is going to take their vote, not us. Second thing, we need to get better about messaging. I feel like every libertarian, they come out with the same messaging that's good for us, right? When you're preaching to the libertarian choir, it's awesome, right? But what we need to do is we need to improve. It's like, how do I take the libertarian message and bring it to a disenfranchised Republican, right? Or how do I take this libertarian message and hit it towards a moderate Democrat? So what you can do is, with tools now, with social media marketing and things, is we need to get better at our media. We need to make videos that would appeal to leftists and to people of the right, but make those videos in a way that basically hits on everything that they find wrong with their party, and then let them know why libertarianism is a better answer for them, and let them know. Here's the way it breaks down, man. With people of the left, you need to attack the emotional side of things. So instead of going with taxation is theft and government's bad, we need to have emotional stories. Like one of the stories that I said was, you know, that one leftist over was, you know, 7 years ago, I was living in my car. I was not doing well. And then I just told them, you know, picking up myself up from the bootstraps, the free market economy, I now own a home and I got a beautiful wife and a kid. And because of free market capitalism, I was able to get myself out of a bad position. So when you take a stance like that, you appeal to the emotional side of a leftist or a left-leaning person, I should say, right? With members of the right, it's definitely more of a logical statement. They're going to want to know, like, okay, well, taxation is theft. Great. Well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to budget it? And they're going to be more sticklers for the details. So what I think is you need specific campaigns to target each of those people, right? Like, and of course you got to keep, you know, the libertarian base happy, taxation is theft, all that wonderful stuff that I agree with. But we need to hit everybody else. And then also, I wouldn't say softening our message, but I feel like taking a more incremental approach would be better than, yeah, man, you know what? We're going to cut all taxes and that public school's gone, Social Security's gone, like all that. Like, you gotta take an incremental approach, right? You basically have to take the approach of the people who slowly took our rights away. We're going to have to adopt those same measures to take them back, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, you know, you always hear you shouldn't talk about politics or religion, right? I mean, that's something that it's a thing that's been passed down for decades. And I've come to the conclusion over time that those two things are almost identical when you put them side by side. And, you know, because people tend to, they find their favorite candidate, and then, my gosh, like Donald Trump said it, I could go shoot somebody, you know, out on Fifth Avenue and be caught on video, and my base would still vote for me. And he's not wrong. They would.
Not wrong. No.
Because they worship him. They're not really voting for him as a great leader. There's just something about him they like that speaks to them.
Well, Donald Trump, his victory was what I feel was, you had a group of people who were basically being demonized and basically told by one political side, like, hey, not only are you not welcome, but you are my enemy now, right? And you're going to change everything about yourself, you know, Judeo-Christians, you know, you're the past, right? I'm going to infringe on all of your rights and this and that. And a lot of the other Republicans, if you ever watched, they were kind of these milquetoast guys who would cower because basically they were on the same team as the Democrat. And that's just the way it's always been. Whereas Trump finally, you know, finally stuck by his guns. And instead of being this apologetic dude, he went after people. And because he was willing to do the things that others weren't willing to do before him, he won. And, you know, I don't agree with him on many, many things, but what we can agree with was the guy's relentless, and he actually speaks to his base, and he actually, you know, seemingly at least cares about them, and he speaks off the cuff. He doesn't speak like a politician, and I think that's what won him the election.
I agree. And I, you know, speaking to your incremental approach that you talked about, that was why I brought up the politics and religion issue, because, you know, if you ever go to a church, they don't sit there and say, all right, you know, if you become a member of our church, these are the 27 things that, you know, you must believe.
Yep.
Instead, they give you something that, you know, most people are going to agree with. So yep. Like, I think, like, as far as libertarians go, I think if you talk to, and I know this from campaigning, you talk to people and you say, you know, well, isn't your personal freedom important to you? Well, of course it is. That's why I love living in America. Great. Well, that's what we're about. And then, you know, once you bring them in, then you can kind of expose them to the other issues. But even then, that's part of my point is, like, what I find interesting about Democrats is now you've got Republicans, right? Then you have Democrats who are considered Democrats, and then Democrats who are considered progressive.
Yeah.
And so their party's kind of splitting into parts. I think what could happen with libertarians is if you bring them in based off of the liberty concept, totally, 100%. And that's what this podcast is based around. It's why it's called Liberty Revealed, because I'm trying to reveal to people what they're missing out on. And like you said, you know, we need to take back some of the rights that we've lost over the years and get back to the way the founding fathers intended it to be. But the bottom line is you bring them in, and then you show them these things. Well, again, we're back to this is the second thing that has to happen. We have to stop with the you're not libertarian enough. If you come in and you mostly believe the ideology, then you're good. And we should embrace that, because you're right. If you get someone to come in, you teach them about liberty. Then you teach them about why smaller government will help improve our ability to have personal freedom. Then you convince them of that and you teach them this stuff. Then when they decide to run for office, what are they going to do when they get in office? They're going to want to cut back on government. They're going to want to give us more freedoms because, you know, essentially they're, if you want to put it this way, they're part of the team, you know, and we don't do a good job of that at all. I had a guy during my campaign tell me he'd make phone calls for me. And then he got a lot of hangups because, you know, I'm a libertarian and he has to tell them that that's what I am. And they would hang up. And he'd say, you know what? I'm not going to make any more calls because you're not going to win anyway. I was like, yeah, you're right. As long as we carry that attitude forward, no libertarian will ever win an election. Exactly. You know, it's just not going to happen. So all right, well, we're going to need to wrap up here pretty quick. But I wanted to ask you to just kind of, you know, if you make it into this at-large position, because this episode is going to come out the Monday before convention. So yep. It's going to be a... you know, it's going to be a great promotional tool to use. So if you reach, you know, if you get appointed to that position, what are you going to do? Like, what are your top priorities? Give me your top three priorities.
Top three priorities, candidate support, recruiting, and modernizing our technology and our message. That way we can set the groundwork to win elections for the next 100 years.
Awesome. Well, I don't know if you feel like telling people like where they can reach you on social media if they have questions or anything, but this is your chance to tell people where to find you.
Cool. Yeah, basically you folks can find me on Facebook, my official page, RickDawson.io, Twitter, RickDawsonJS. Basically my whole purpose with wanting to do this seat is to make it so that anybody who ever runs for office for the Libertarian Party again will not be left on their own island alone to have to like endure these waters. Secondly is I want to get those people who are not quote unquote libertarian enough, because if they vote for you, then they're libertarian enough as far as I'm concerned. Like I even put on my Facebook page the other day, it's like, I don't care whether or not you're quote unquote libertarian enough, as long as you don't infringe on my rights, my property, my money, or my guns, we're good, buddy.
Well, you know, I was sitting here thinking, it's interesting to me that there's a group of us who have sort of come together and supported each other. Because, of course, like I said, I'm also seeking one of the at-large positions. And we've come together and we're supporting each other, even for other positions. But each person that has run for some office before. And I find that really interesting because it's almost like we've all, without realizing it, we've all kind of said, look, we've had enough of this. We don't want the next people to go through what we went through.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do what we can to get in a position where we can effect some change in that area. And I think, to me, it's a big reason why I support the people that I do support, because they're candidate focused. Because let's face it, you know, we could sit here and we can talk about how we need to roll back regulations and we need to cut the size of government.
Yeah.
But none of us, unless somehow we miraculously take over the House and the Senate, like in one sweep in an election, it's just not going to happen overnight. We need to start with a foundation. We need to build upon that foundation. And we need to find the most important issue to our party. And I think, hey, if we want to win elections, we have to support our candidates. They say the best way to accomplish a goal is to reverse engineer it. So yep. you start out where you want to be and you figure out the steps it's going to take to get to that goal. Well, I don't understand why it seems to be such a mystery to the leadership that candidates are important. You can't, you know, you're smart enough to call someone on the phone and say, hey, Rick, you know, will you run for Congress? And then you say yes, and then they hang up the phone, and then they don't talk to you ever again.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, all right, thanks, man. Yeah, I completely agree with that. Yeah, so basically, if I win that at-large seat, and as you have my full endorsement and support too, Mike, if we win, I can promise that you and I will sit down, and we're gonna say like, hey, what's the worst part about running as a candidate, as a libertarian, beyond the stuff you have to deal with when you start banging on doors or picking up phones, right? And I feel like until we address that, then, you know, once we address that and we give people a foundation, a support group and things of that nature, we're going to be good. And I think you and I would definitely help out Tim's effort on the candidate support committee. And I think that anybody who's listening to this, who wants to win elections, you know what, voting for myself and Michael would not be a bad path for that.
I definitely agree with you. Well, thanks for being on the show. I'm going to wrap things up here. This is another episode of Liberty Revealed. And if you guys are interested in finding out about personal liberty and learning more about it, you can go to yogispodcastnetwork.com/Liberty Revealed. I've got a free PDF that's there. I just pop your email address in there. It'll send it to you pretty much immediately. And it's got examples too. So it's not just, I'm not preaching at you. I'm just showing you here's situation A and here's situation B, which one shows personal liberty and which one shows someone violating personal liberty. So feel free to check that out. Come back the next time. And please, you know, if you're a member of the California Libertarian Party and you're going to be at convention casting votes, vote for Rick and myself for at large, because, you know, like Rick said, we're going to help candidates get elected. And I think, you know, I've spent some time talking to Rick before, and I think that he has some good ideas for helping candidates. I have some good ideas for helping candidates. And I think what's going to happen is we're all going to come together and we each going to come at it from a different angle, but we're going to cover all the bases and you're going to see more strength in our party. So please, you know, like I say, cast that vote. But again, another episode of Liberty Revealed. I'm Mike Mahoney and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Liberty Revealed, the show where you learn about all things liberty. Please visit the show's website at yogispodcastnetwork.com/LR, where you can reach out to Mike directly with your questions and comments. Again, that is yogispodcastnetwork.com/LR.